The feast of Christ the King brings to an end, and I have a feeling talking's getting hard here, I got some congestion, but it brings to an end the liturgical year. Throughout this year, we have been listening to the Gospel of St. Luke. And now the church brings that year to an end. But in a sense, in this last feast, it wants to focus us on what it has been trying to say to us throughout the year. That this Jesus is the promised one. He is the one who is of the family of David. He is the king that has been promised. He is the one that will save us, save all humankind, and bring salvation to the world. It wants us to know that, to believe that from the very depths of our hearts. That is why we have the first reading, the little piece about King David. But notice there's something in there that also helps us get a picture of what Jesus is to do. It said David was shepherd and commander of his people. Jesus will take on that role. Shepherd, and I would prefer to say leader of his people. If you go to the next two readings, you get a very different picture of Jesus in each reading. Paul's reading gives us a very exalted image of Jesus. Just notice some of the words he uses. He says, he is the image of the invisible God. What does that mean? It means that if we want to see God, the God that cannot be seen, what we need to do is look at Jesus. In him, we see the very essence of God himself, the God who is love. He goes on to say, for in him were created all things in heaven on earth. All things were created through him and for him. Putting him really at the very center, the very focal point of all creation. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. A powerful line. All things hold together. That somehow he is the master in charge of all creation, bringing together its oneness, its unity. And then one last line. For in him all the fullness was pleased to dwell. That word fullness, it's a rather technical term, at least in the Greek. But it's trying to say that only God has fullness. Only God has completeness. The rest of us are incomplete. The rest of us lack something. But God is sufficient to himself. Paul says, that fullness, that completeness of God dwells in the person of Jesus Christ. He will say that again, a little later in the same letter. He says, in him all the fullness of the deity dwells. That's Paul's very exalted image of Christ Jesus. Then we go to the gospel. In the gospel reading, this Jesus has been whipped. He has been beaten. He has been crowned with thorns. He has been spat upon. And now, as the gospel reading begins, he is nailed to a cross. All the leaders, all the powerful people are making fun of him, laughing at him, rejoicing to see him come to his end. Pilate and the soldiers, they're mocking him, calling him a king, not out of respect, but out of ridicule. Look at that miserable king. And it's not only putting down Jesus, it's also putting down the Jews. Look, what kind of king they have. It is mockery. And yet there is one. There is one in that crowd who recognizes Jesus for who he is. It is the one that knows his sinfulness. It is the one who knows his need for God's mercy. We see this recognition when he says to him, "Remember me when you enter into your kingdom." And Jesus acknowledges that when he says, "This day you will be with me in paradise." Throughout Luke's gospel, Luke has avoided very carefully Jesus acknowledging himself as king. Only when he enters into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday does he begin to really embrace that sense that he is king. And now, as he's enthroned upon the cross, there is no more reluctance to acknowledge the kingship of the Lord Jesus Christ. In a sense, Luke is saying to us that he really assumes his kingship at the very moment that he pours himself out, as he gives himself totally for us and for our salvation. It is then that he is enthroned as king of the universe. What does all this say to us? What do we learn from it? We learn that if we want to reign with him, we must love with him. If we want to share the glory of his kingdom, we must learn to pour ourselves out also in self-giving love. We must do that in many ways. Within our families, at the workplace, even in our entertainment, wherever we are, whatever we do, we must adapt that self-giving love of the Lord Jesus Christ. But if we can love with him, if we can pour ourselves out with him, then we can also reign with him. I want to close with one last thought. I said it last night, and I wasn't sure it fit, but I'll say it anyway, because it's a point that I want to make. Saint Ignatius of Loyola had a line that I think is very profound. He said something to the effect that our spiritual life begins when we know ourselves as sinners, but loved sinners. when we know our need for mercy, but when we know that we are loved by this God of ours, and that this God of ours has poured himself out for us, once that really hits home to us, then we begin the spiritual journey.